This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by a brand new all-natural daily preventative against a host of possible inflammatory issues. Black for Health liquid extract from Future Farm Botanicals. Black for Health combines four plant-based foods, black garlic, black radish root, black cumin seed, and black peppercorn, containing high levels of body-ready healing botanicals. It's a tasty supplement with liposome complex for optimal absorption. For more information or to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's myfuture, P-H-A-R-M. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman, and from now until September 15th, buy one bottle of Black for Health and get one bottle of Elderberry with Zinc and Echinacea, half off, at MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. And I'm just looking at my clock here, Layla, and you know, the Tour de France started at 7:30 this morning Eastern Time. It is now 11:40. So do the math. That was about a 4-hour and 10-minute race today, and you know, pretty much all out. So it's pretty, but they say it was a short stage.
It was 4 hours of short.
Yeah, it was
stage.
a little jaunt, you know, and they covered, I don't know, 110 miles.
Hey, you want to go for a nice little bike ride? Sure.
Yeah, right. up a mountain, you know, like, you know, just a couple of thousand feet climb, you know, no problem.
So
the winner is at the podium. Okay. Please excuse my bike exuberance, but I don't know. It gets me excited. It's like a lousy tennis player watching the U.S. Open. You know, I don't care a whit for tennis, but you know, some people get really excited. You know, okay. We have a bunch of questions. Radioprogram@awol.com is the destination for questions, and let's take some of those.
Yes, we have an email from Marianne. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, my husband and I take berberine, which you often recommend for blood sugar lowering. My doctor told me that it should not be taken long-term because berberine acts as an antibiotic. I've never heard you mention this. How does this work, and will it mess up my microbiome the way antibiotics do?
Okay, it's an interesting question. And I really would like to know a little bit more about the doctor, because the doctor sounds, at the very least, you know, somewhat knowledgeable.
Yeah.
You know, that he knows that berberine has antimicrobial effects.
Yes.
But like many conventional doctors, he takes this little scintilla of knowledge that he has and turns it into an argument against taking the supplement.
Right.
Right. So I don't know, maybe he read it in one of his conventional medical journals, that, you know, yet another knock against some kind of, you know, nutritional supplement, herbal remedy.
Right, because take our drug instead.
Right, right.
Yes.
So here's the deal. Berberine, indeed, you know, 30 years ago when I got started in this field, I used a lot of berberine for people with what we now have come to call SIBO, which is like irritable bowel with a, more of a diarrhea predominance, you know, urgency, because it is somewhat antimicrobial.
Yes.
It can reduce the overgrowth of harmful bacteria. We know that. Now, we also know, and this is an unrelated fact, but the doctor is trying to conflate them, that long-term taking antibiotics is not so great, because what happens is you disturb your microbiome, and you also create antibiotic resistance, so that when you really need the antibiotic doesn't work. That's not the way that berberine works. Berberine is a somewhat of an antimicrobial. It's not a broad-spectrum antibiotic. It's not going to eradicate all your beneficial bacteria.
Yeah, it's not Levaquin.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to somewhat suppress the growth, especially of pathogenic bacteria. And, you know, I'm reading here, research shows that taking berberine twice daily for 8 weeks might reduce diarrhea and stomach pain and might improve quality of life in people with IBS with diarrhea. This is from WebMD. Okay, so WebMD is going to be very conservative about saying anything like this is going to be possibly helpful.
Well, berberine's been used for hundreds of years.
Yes.
In Chinese medicine, for diarrhea, for, you know, abdominal upsets.
Yeah.
So very, very successfully.
But it turns out that because of its, it has many, many effects, and it may also lower cholesterol, it may reduce metabolic syndrome. It's actually thought that it may work in a way similar to metformin, although there are some differences. The metformin also works on the GI tract. People who take metformin sometimes describe GI disturbance when they take it because it alters the microbiome, possibly in a way that may influence metabolism and may influence lipid profiles. So we now use berberine for metabolic syndrome.
Yep.
And in addition to gastrointestinal ailments. And it absolutely can be used long term. You know, so
especially in the setting of metabolic syndrome, pre-diabetes, diabetes, I mean, the CM Core product is excellent.
CM Core by Orthomolecular is one of our go-to products. And I believe it also has grapeseed, which also has some vascular benefits. So, you know, it's a good combo. It's berberine plus grapeseed. And the CM, I think, is suggests that it may be good for cardiometabolic. So it's one of our go-to formulas, and you're perfectly fine in taking it, and it won't mean that antibiotics won't work if you need to use them, and it won't mean that you are depleting your good bacteria in your gut. But I will say this. You know, we have to be accurate here and note that some people, when they take berberine, they get a little constipated. I've
seen that happen.
Because it has a bit of an astringent effect, and actually it's reducing the bacterial proliferation. Now, for some people, they would welcome a little bit of constipation because they're always having diarrhea.
Yes.
But, you know, for some people, they get a bit of a problem. So they might have to use a lower dose, and they might have to do intermittent dosing, or they might have to get used to it. Because, I mean, there's an initial phase, I think, which is sort of a phase-in process.
Yeah.
And then eventually that should subside.
But, right. It should subside. If it doesn't, we add things like a magnesium citrate or a prebiotic or,
So
depending on what they need, maybe a little more fiber.
Exactly. So, you know, I think it's worth it to try it. And, you know, the other product that contains berberine that we like to use is called Candibactin BR. Candibactin, it's with the connotation of that name is that it helps antifungal against candida and also suppresses bacterial overgrowth. So it's one of our go-to products for SIBO, small intestine bacterial overgrowth. I'm interviewing a good colleague of mine this month in a few days on the subject of SIBO. He's an expert on the subject. His name is Dr. Lauren Marks. You heard him earlier talking about COVID-19 at the beginning of the pandemic. We've invited him back to talk about his research on SIBO. So that should be fun. It sort of irks me that right away the doctor correctly knows that this is antibacterial, but his supposition is that this is somehow bad.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
Because I think it reflects an inherent bias.
Or they err on the side of caution because they just don't know enough about it, where the right answer from any good practitioner would be, you know what? I'm not sure. I need to look into that, and I'll get back to you. Instead of, no, don't use that.
It's kind of a knee-jerk. It's a knee-jerk thing.
And it's a knee-jerk,
and
exactly.
And if this patient was less astute, they would say, oh, my doctor said, you know, I shouldn't use this, you know, and it would be poisoning the well with an opportunity to benefit from that nutritional supplement.
Yes.
But, you know, thankfully that listener is open-minded and, you know, wants to get at a more balanced and truthful assessment of the benefits and the risks of taking berberine.
Mm-hmm. Good for you, Marianne. And thank you for that very thoughtful question.
And just as a little aside, is that it used to be golden seal was the prime source of berberine. And golden seal used to be used a lot as an eye drop, as an eye treatment, because it's of its anti-infective properties in traditional medicine, and even I think in the 20th century. But now golden seal is kind of an endangered species. It's the demand has increased so much. So the major source of berberine is now Oregon grapefruit, which is a different plant. But you know, it used to be we would buy golden seal products. Now it's less golden seal products. You're going to get the berberine that is it's kind of a concentrate of Oregon grapefruit.
It's so interesting because I often used to find way back in the day echinacea paired with golden seal for cold and flu season.
Right.
But now I don't see that formulation as much anymore, purely echinacea.
I can't claim that berberine is antiviral.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's antibacterial. I mean, it's definitely antibacterial, but I can't say there's any evidence that it kills viruses. And echinacea might be antimicrobial, but it's something that directly impacts the immune system. And, you know, it's such a plentiful thing. I mean, we have like flowers growing in our garden. It looks like echinacea. Every gardener knows echinacea. It's such a plentiful thing. It's really a mainstay of Native American medicine and many traditional medical systems. So, all right, let's move on. We got more questions.
Oh, but this might be a good time for...
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's acknowledge, you know, our one of our sponsors. Allow them to share an important message with you. Here it goes. Naturally occurring black pigments in vegetables, spices, and seeds have been found to have powerful anti-inflammatory effects. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and I'm excited about what I think may be the next big thing in anti-inflammatory supplements, a brand new all-natural daily preventative against a host of possible inflammatory issues. Black for Health liquid extract from Future Farm Botanicals. Black for Health combines four plant-based foods, black garlic, black radish root, black cumin seed, and black peppercorn, containing high levels of body-ready healing botanicals. It's a tasty supplement with liposome complex for optimal absorption. For more information, order. Call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's myfuturefarm, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. And from now until September 15th, buy one bottle of Black for Health. You get one bottle of elderberry with zinc and echinacea half off at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make intelligent medicine a continuing free resource to you. And we are really indebted to them. And we only accept sponsors that we think offer credible and useful products. So we're deeply appreciated of their support. So let's go on to the next question, please.
Okay. We have an email from Sue. It's actually two questions. Dr. Hoffman, thank you for your podcasts. They're really helpful. I recently had a CT cardiac scoring test.
Mm-hmm.
Is that now this is the first part of the question. Is that the same as an EBT heart scan?
It may or may not be because EBT uses CT technology. It's just that it is somewhat attenuated vis-a-vis the amount of radiation that you get. That's why I like to use the EBT scanner, but those scanners are few and far between. I'll tell you why. They're not that versatile. They only can scan for calcium, and they don't show the anatomy as well as a higher radiation CT scan. So many hospitals have regular CT scanners, and they just program it in. They program the CT scanner to reveal the coronary architecture. And so you get about 10 times more radiation unnecessarily, in my opinion. I mean, if you need like a, you know, a lung CAT scan, fine, you know, then you're going to get that additional information about your coronary arteries.
Yeah.
But, so That's why we try to get people to go to a few select places that have EBT heart scanners. Mm-hmm. The problem is that insurance companies have been very slow to acknowledge the benefits of this. I think this is really one of the gaps in insurance coverage. It's such a useful test. It helps us discriminate, you know, who really is at risk for cardiovascular disease. You know, somebody comes in, their cholesterol is like 300, you know, and they say their doctor wants them to go on a statin. We go, okay, fine. You know, maybe you really have advanced plaque and you're, you know, hanging by the proverbial thread, you know, that you've got that, quote, widow maker, you know.
Oh, right.
Ready to dispatch you to kingdom come. On the other hand, you may be one of these fortunate individuals who has certain protective factors in place with a high cholesterol, looks ostensibly bad. Like me. I mean, I've got a cholesterol that's over, you know, the threshold. My LDL is above 130. A little bit above 130. So technically,
oh,
you know,
save your brain.
When I plug
it'll
in those numbers.
Brain.
No, but exactly. But when I plug in those numbers, first of all, they don't let me say, you know, that what my height and weight is. They don't let me say that, you know, I'm an inveterate exerciser. They don't let me say that I'm on a quasi paleo diet, that I take a million nutritional supplements and tons of fish oil and chiolic aged garlic extract. There's no place to put that information in. Mm. So they spit out that I need to be on a statin. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally, this is the American Heart Association algorithm. You know, they have an app, you know, that tells you whether you should be on. They say, well, you need to be on a moderate dose statin. Mm-hmm. You know, start with 40 milligrams of Lipitor.
Right.
But with that test, I had zero plaque.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be a total waste of time for me to be in a statin. I mean, what am I protecting?
Yeah.
You know, I'm already protected and I went to it. It's like the analogy I give is like when you're in your car and you're like straightening out your glove compartment in the garage, do you have to put your seatbelt on? Well, you're in your car. You should always put your seatbelt on when you're in a car. You know, there's a little thing that goes ding, 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 ding in the car.
Exactly, until your seatbelt goes on,
right? It's annoying, right? but, you know, the car's not moving. Hello?
Yeah. So Sue has a total calcium score of 33.
Mm-hmm. Okay, can I comment on that?
Yeah, sure.
That depending on her age,
she's 75.
That's actually very good.
Because
you know, let's even postulate that it increases at a rate of 20% a year, which it can. You know, by the time she's 90, she might have a score that's several hundred.
Yeah.
But you know, is it occlusive? It's not likely to be occlusive, and especially in the absence of an elevated C-reactive protein, which is the inflammatory component of plaque, it's not likely to lead to cardiovascular disease.
Right.
So she has a little bit of plaque.
Yes. Now, here's her question. And she requested this test because her cholesterol has been consistently high.
Yeah.
Her total cholesterol is 245. With an HDL of 74.
That's a healthy woman profile.
Yeah. Triglycerides of 142.
I
would blame the triglycerides more than her
better.
LDL of 144.
She could do a little better. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it might have been a non-fasting, so it could have been, you know, distorted.
Yeah. So of the five arteries they look at, it's the LAD that is 33. And her question is, why would it be only one artery that's showing calcification, but the others do not?
Mm-hmm.
And the LAD is the widowmaker, right?
In fact, it is. But a 33 is not that bad. It just means that there's the beginning of plaque. So she would be a good candidate for all the preventive measures, such as low-carb diet, you know, get the triglycerides down. You know, take chiolic aged garlic extract, which slows the progression of plaque. Take a lot of fish oil. You know, I will tell you, there was a very interesting article, and it didn't look at a nutritional supplement. Okay, it looked at something called VASCEPA, and VASCEPA is the pharmaceutical industry's answer to EPA. It's a highly purified form of just EPA, no DHA. It's and it's in the ethyl ester form, not the triglyceride form, and it's going to be covered by insurance. And they demonstrated in a dramatic study that by taking, I think the dosage is 4 a day, which is a fairly high dose of this fish oil, that you could slow the progression of cardiovascular disease, reduce cardiovascular incidence. And so here's an interesting thing. They had people on statins. Statins have been shown to increase coronary artery plaque.
Isn't that something? It's exactly what they're not supposed to do.
But I got to say, there's a little bit of disconnect because there are some studies, and again, some studies don't show much, but some studies do show benefit, that particularly in people who are high risk, it does reduce the incidence of cardiovascular mortality and subsequent cardiovascular events when you take a statin. Okay? I mean, let's admit it. It's there.
Yeah.
Although that has been criticized, I wrote an article about that, is that, you know, some of the studies are don't show marginal benefits, you know, like, 50 people have to take statins for 10 years to save one person, you know, that kind of thing. But nonetheless, let's not deny the protective benefits of statins in some instances, not for people who have no plaque or have a plaque score of 33, but for people who are at high risk.
Yeah.
Okay. So what was fascinating is when they gave them a statin plus Vascepa, the plaque score did not increase. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the plaque score decreased.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, it was very cool. Now, I can't say, or I will incur the wrath of Amarin, which is the company that makes Vascepa, that this conclusively demonstrates the benefits of stuff that you can buy in a health food store.
Yes.
Because they've actually sent warning letters to supplement companies that claim that because of the Vascepa research, that their fish oil also confers those benefits.
Uh-huh.
Now, but I got to say that EPA is EPA.
That's right.
And whether you get it from eating a lot of oily fish, or whether you get it from a health food store, or whether you get it in a synthetic form, in a highly concentrated supplement that's covered by insurance because it's a prescription, it's EPA.
Right, right. And you know what else, Dr. Hoffman? Another very important nutrient here would be vitamin K.
Absolutely. MK7, yeah.
MK7, which is vitamin K2, completely underappreciated here in the setting of any kind of coronary calcium score.
So we would also maybe talk up resveratrol. We might talk up grapeseed extract or pycnogenol. We might talk up the benefits of olive leaf extract use plenty of polyphenol-rich olive oil to get that. And, adequate vitamin D, you know, these are things that are helpful potentially. So, magnesium, certainly, but there's a whole sort of a whole kind of protective program, for people who have exhibited some plaque, Anyway, so the answer is, don't worry about it. Why is it localized? I don't know. That's an artery that does a lot of traffic on that artery. So, it might be. I would say
the rest are zero.
You know, roads that don't have a lot of traffic, they don't get a lot of potholes. Like the Long Island Expressway. I don't know. You've driven the Long Island Expressway recently.
Oh, sure.
It's a terrible condition, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness.
My car is like shaking, rattling, and rolling, and I'm like dodging potholes.
Terrible from the shock absorbing and,
I mean, I feel sorry for my car, and I'm wincing my teeth, And that's the LAD. The LIE is the LAD.
That's the LAD is the LIE.
Right. So it's going to take more wear and tear. And that's also why the majority of people over a certain age have some calcifications of their aorta, because it's got a lot of blood flow. Think of it. It's like, I mean, I just had to get rid of some running shoes that I've only been running like less than a year in. They're all worn to crap. Now, how about in a 70-something-year-old person with a blood flow, like the heart beats thousands of times every day and pushes that blood past there's going to be some wear and tear on that arterial wall.
Sure.
It's not going to be pristine.
Yeah. Sue, not to worry, and thank you for that very, very thoughtful question.
Yep.
Wow.
Do we have time for one more question?
Let's see here. We do. Let's see. This comes from Angie. I'm a 78-year-old woman. What is the maximum amount of calcium to be taken daily or with each dose? Currently, I take about 1,200 milligrams, either from food, supplements, or a combo, both. And
that's about right. That's about right. I think people get that wrong because they go, oh, a requirement is 1,200 milligrams of calcium. You know, if you're a woman who is at risk for osteoporosis, so take 1,200 to 1,500 milligrams of calcium. Then they take it as a supplement. No.
Yeah. No, 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 no. You don't want to take more than 500, maybe 700 in a supplement.
Yeah, I agree.
Sure. Because you're getting calcium from your food, and it's not just dairy. Green leafy vegetables, broccoli, almonds.
And that's what people who are a little less savvy sometimes. I put them on an osteoporosis program, and then they add up how much they go, my goodness, you only gave me like, you know, 700 of 750 of calcium. Don't you know that we're supposed to get like, you know, 1,200 to 1,500 of calcium? I go, hello. I don't want to overdose you on calcium.
Exactly.
Because that calcium may find its way to your arterial wall.
Right. Or as suspicious calcifications in your breast tissue.
Yeah.
Or something like
although
that.
I recently read a review article which says it argued that a lot of the so-called evidence that's been marshaled to show that dietary calcium has never been shown to be a problem, but the supplemental calcium in some studies has been implicated in arterial calcification that makes it worse, especially in women. And why in women? Well, women are avid about taking calcium because of osteoporosis.
Right.
There was this pushback against that notion that the calcium is the cause of the problem. I mean, if you want to safeguard against calcium going to the wrong places, take vitamin K with it.
Yes, you have to. You can't just take calcium. You might wind up with kidney stones. So I want to remind Angie that you want to be taking vitamin D, magnesium, vitamin K. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. With any amount of calcium that you're taking.
Yeah,
so,
there was this thing that was, you know, in the old days, you know, before effective acid blocking medications, there was a high incidence of something called milk alkali syndrome. And that was when, you know, the typical like Madison Avenue executive, you know, like in Mad Men. In their desk drawer, they would have two things. They'd have a bottle of hooch, you know, a bottle of whiskey because they were drinking all day. You know, it's like, I just had a tough client or I got a meeting or or come in, you know, have a drink in my office. We'll talk.
Right.
But they would also have a bottle of milk. They would have a bottle of milk and they would like drink milk. And they would throw back calcium pills to soothe their stomachs because they all had ulcers. They were all stressed out. And they were smokers too, you know. It was a smoking culture. So there was a high incidence of milk alkali syndrome. Why? They were getting enormous amounts of calcium in their system. So the calcium was depositing in their kidneys in milk alkali syndrome. But that's, you know, we want modest calcium supplementation.
Right.
But not like massive.
Not massive. Again, another Goldilocks.
So anyway, surprisingly, here we are. Here we find ourselves at the end of our time limit. We have a couple of questions left over. We'll save them for next week. But we encourage you to send questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. And you know what? Amazingly, and we thank you. The questions never dry up.
Yes.
So we really appreciate the audience participation. And we hope that you find it helpful, those of you who are faithful listeners, that you get your questions answered here on this forum.
Okay.
Thank you, Layla.
Well, enjoy. Thank you, Dr. Hoffman.
Your last vestige of summer. And we'll reconvene in a businesslike fashion after Labor Day.
Yep.
Have a great
week. Thanks, everybody.
Stay safe. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.